Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela De Santiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Rachel from the Parent Pad.
My name's Rachel. I am a registered nurse, and my background within that is labor and delivery, postpartum nursery, so breastfeeding support in the hospital. I'm a lactation consultant as well, so I've done some courses outside of the hospital. And then I just had my first baby girl in April of 2022.
So you mentioned that you're a lactation consultant, which is why I wanted to have you on here, because I feel like breastfeeding is such a huge topic and we get very little exposure to it when we're in the hospital. We do have somebody come and visit us and kind of help guide us, tell us how to breastfeed. And I know it's not always possible for all moms to do it, but I was hoping you'd be able to start off with just giving us a little bit about what the minimum recommendations are for somebody to breastfeed and what the longer current suggestions are for breastfeeding.
Yeah, definitely. So I also wanted to preface with, I kind of came in with this background of being a nurse and then started my business, the Parent Pad. And the reason I started it is because a lot of this was lacking. And we kind of depend on our hospital staff to tell us everything we need to know. And in reality, there's just so much. Within breastfeeding, I always like to say that any amount of breast milk is great. Breast milk is amazing. So even if you're mixing it in something, the amount of time that you can do it is the best. Any amount is best for a baby. But the American Academy of Pediatrics, they recommend to exclusively breastfeed for 6 months. So within that time frame, your baby doesn't need any water. I know that's always a question I get from parents. They don't need any kind of foods. So purees, solids, anything. Breast milk can be their entire diet for the first 6 months. We call it the AAP. That is the American Academy of Pediatrics. As of July of this year, 2022, they said that it's beneficial to continue until 2 years and beyond, really. Breast milk never really loses its benefit. Your body kind of adjusts to exactly what your baby needs. And in that second year of life, it really continues to be a great source of nutrients and the antibodies, immunity factors too. So a long time. They extended it a whole year.
I know. That is pretty crazy. I'd like to, you know, be able to hopefully breastfeed as for the 2 years. But again, I know that's kind of up to our little ones to decide if they want to continue or not.
Yeah, they definitely make it known, don't they?
Yeah. I'm very fortunate that mine likes to eat anything and everything. So
yeah, I'm with you on that as well. I'm pretty lucky in that she does like her breast milk though. She was not a bottle baby. So like so many bottle refusals, et cetera. So she definitely likes the boob and then she likes her food. But she knows what she likes.
A great topic for another one, just talking about the bottle refusal. I just keep thinking about so many topics. This can go on for days, I feel like.
Yeah, there's so much.
Would you be able to share what some of the benefits are for breastfeeding when it comes to baby, and then what some of the benefits are for us as mothers?
Yeah, I could go on. Like you said, I could just talk about this for days, but breast milk is absolutely incredible. I honestly, to not be dramatic, but I could start crying. It's just so amazing. So for your baby, your body will actually sense when your baby is more thirsty. So there'll be more water or electrolyte content when they're hungrier. So it'll be a fattier feed, more of that, what we call hind milk. It will know if your baby's cold. So your body will heat the baby up. It will know if your baby's hot. So it will cool the baby down. It adjusts like crazy. And we always want to know how many physical ounces does my baby need. In reality, because the composition is changing so much, it doesn't matter if your baby's 8 months old. It doesn't mean they need 7 ounces like formula would, if that makes sense. The fattier content will change based on what they need at a certain age. We haven't even really begun to study everything that it can do. But one of the major things that you can never replicate is the antibodies. So you pass those to your baby. And the way that I always explain it to people is they pass through the milk and they kind of sit in the baby's mouth and they fight anything that could go in. So it just goes into their digestive system and then they poop it out. They don't get those foreign viruses and bacteria into their body. And then with that, you're going to have, they say, so statistically, if you breastfeed a baby younger than a year for 4 months exclusively, there will be less hospitalizations for lower respiratory tract infections. So think like RSV, like what's going on around right now. It lowers your baby's risk for that. It lowers their risk for SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And typically that I always explain as they're not in a deep, deep sleep really with breast milk, whereas it's just known that babies that formula feed kind of fall into a far deeper sleep. Babies that are breastfed kind of wake up more often, especially when they're younger, to feed. And then it lowers their risk of leukemia, childhood obesity, type 2 diabetes. So it's absolutely incredible for the baby. And then to transition to mom, so many amazing benefits, same kind of thing, decreases type 2 diabetes, hypertension, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. But the really cool thing is that hormone oxytocin. And I try to, I don't want to get too nursey into it, but that's the love hormone is kind of what we call it, or like the cuddle chemical. And so when you do that golden hour with your baby or start breastfeeding right away, whenever they're born, that oxytocin tells your brain that your uterus needs to contract. And so with that, in at least the very beginning, you're going to bleed less, your recovery is faster because your uterus is going back down to its pre-pregnancy size. Oxytocin, like, it's absolutely incredible. It lowers your blood pressure, lowers your sensitivity to pain. It bonds you too. So the baby also releases oxytocin, especially when you're skin to skin. And that's that bonding hormone. That's why you just feel this like sense of connection to them. And, you know, all of that saying, breastfeeding is extremely hard, especially in the beginning, but that just happy feeling, kind of feeling them again, you, that's that hormone. And so that scientists have linked that to enhanced nurturing behavior in the mom, more eye contact, affectionate language. So it really helps you in that early postpartum period bond with your baby really well.
Oh, that's great. So,
and lots of
the cuddles are always so amazing.
They're so great. I just like, and it, you're going through your head, like, I need to be doing this, and this, but no, this is what I need to be doing. I need to be right here with this baby on me.
I really like that you mentioned that it is hard. It's such a difficult job. You know, you're sitting in a chair or wherever it is that you're breastfeeding, and it takes so much of your time. And I don't feel like that's ever really talked about. Like, I didn't realize how much time I was putting into it, and I wasn't really pumping that much when I started. And even now I don't really pump as much unless I absolutely need to, just because it's easier to just feed them.
It so is. Yeah. And I always say that too. Pumping is breastfeeding. I've heard that not mentioned enough. That's absolutely breastfeeding. There's people would say, no, that's not. And it's a full-time job. It's like the equivalent of a 40-hour work week job. So the breastfeeding, pumping, cleaning, all of that, you're right. It really isn't talked about how much, and you're starving. Unless you have food right there, you're starving. And then, you know, not even talking about another child being present, maybe you can't always just sit there and, you know, feed your baby on the couch or whatever it may be if you have a toddler running around. So I always like to talk to people about ways to feed baby in a carrier or find ways to kind of still be able to move around while doing that. It can be beneficial if you can't sit down for however many hours a day.
I have the wireless pumps, and at first I was using, you know, the pumps that my insurance gave me, which was the one that you plug into a wall, and I just couldn't handle it. And I think that made it so much harder for me to sit and pump because I just thought about all the things that I could do with my time. So I invested in the wireless pumps and that way I could unload the dishwasher, you know, make something for myself, drink water.
Nice. Yeah. And not have, I mean, some of them are still wearable, but they're outside of your bra. I have those. I have a pumpables one, which I love, but you end up hitting it. Like the strings are falling down and they catch on something. You don't even realize it's disconnected. So it is really nice.
I have the LV. They still sometimes will like, those are nice. And sometimes they'll like maybe spill a little.
Yeah.
But then you can't really like hinge because you want to make sure everything.
Yeah, you don't want to dump it all.
Yes. So, you know, you still have to think about like what you can and can't do. But I just felt like I could actually do something with my time while I was able to pump and relieve myself, you know, like, because sometimes if your baby doesn't want to feed and you're either engorged or your baby is sleeping through the night and you still need to pump, there's all of these things, which then leads me to my next question. Going into the clogged milk duct, which I've had a number of times, mastitis, which luckily I have not had.
Neither.
I didn't know anything about this until I had a clogged milk duct and I just started Googling and I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on with me? Am I having some sort of like a weird disorder I didn't know about?
No, seriously, that was actually, and I didn't preface this in the beginning, but another reason for starting my business was it's great we have the internet, but there's so much information out there and you hear so many different things and explanations about things that it's like, who can I believe, you know, what's actually the right answer or where can I get condensed information about, you know, this and this. So that was another thing that we just didn't have time to educate people on in the hospital. And it's so common. So a clogged milk duct is just an obstruction of milk flow. And it's in a certain portion of your breasts. I don't know if this has happened for you, but mine are like always near my chest wall, kind of like in the bottom area. They're always sort of in the same spot, kind of like down below, but you'll feel it. It'll be a hard lump that's semi-tender. It can get a little bit red if you look at the skin where it's happening. That is a clogged milk duct. And there's no sign of infection with this. It will typically go away once that milk is removed, but it can be a precursor for that mastitis. So the difference is the clogged milk duct, it's clogged. It's an obstruction of milk. And it happens typically from getting engorged, not feeding the baby, going long spurts of time without emptying your breasts. Or this has happened to me if you wear a tight fitting bra, like an underwire bra, that can kind of cause them as well. Mastitis, people just think of it as an infection, but it's actually just inflammation of the breast tissue. So this happens when you have that engorgement buildup of milk. It doesn't get undrained. Think of like a swollen breast. And then the infection typically comes from a cracked nipple and bacteria gets into your breast. That will be red. You'll then have a fever. You'll kind of have body aches, headaches, flu-like symptoms. You still want to feed and pump from those sides that's happening on. It's not like when you have mastitis, you can't feed your baby. That milk is totally fine. It doesn't harm the baby, but yeah, it can be
painful.
It can both go away on their own. I can get into that later. It can be super painful. The not fun part about breastfeeding.
The first time I had one, I just remember the pain and Googling anything and everything that would help alleviate. I did invest in one of those like massagers that vibrates and has a little bit of heat.
Those are great.
I used that in the shower. I also got in the hot tub and just put my boob on the jet.
That's a great idea. I haven't heard of that. I like that.
And then I used a lot of lotion to just massage because I felt like that made it easier.
I kind of say it this way, whether you have a sore breast, blocked duct, breast infection, whatever it may be, you have to nurse or pump frequently. You need to rest and you want to apply heat to that area. You want that milk to flow out. So we think about moist heat is typically what we call it, which the jacuzzi, a shower. A lot of people do a haka with Epsom salt and kind of soak their breast in that. I just find getting in a shower or hot tub is easier because it can hit your whole breast. My clogged ducts weren't always near my areola or the end of my breast. They were like more so near my ribs and my chest. So made it easier to massage it out. But yeah, for clogged ducts, warm hand expression, if you know how to do that. And or you can heat before nursing and then put the baby on and kind of massage as they're sucking the milk out. You kind of just have to ride it out until it comes out on their own. If it doesn't, if the clog doesn't come out in 72 hours, that's like the time frame we give people, then we want to reach out to our healthcare provider. That's kind of the time frame of, okay, we've tried all these things and now we're getting into a zone of we might be getting mastitis and infection. You just want to reach out and see if there's something that they can do to help you or you need to go in and be seen. There's all kinds of reasons too that a clogged duct can happen. And so meeting with a lactation consultant or seeing a professional can help you kind of divulge why it's happening if it's frequent. So I always tell people to try to connect with a medical professional, lactation consultant, whoever it may be that can help you. And then for mastitis, I kind of said it's the same thing. You want to rest, feed the baby, pump if you're not able to get baby on there. And then if those symptoms don't go away in 24 hours, so your red breast, or if you get a fever, you do want to reach out to your provider because, you know, that infection might spread if there's some sort of bacteria or virus in there. The fever is a good indication of something else going on.
See, I didn't know that about waiting 72 hours. Like if you have a clogged milk duct more than 72 hours to reach out.
Yeah, that's, I have all my little textbooks in here in my lactation one. That's kind of the, from a professional standpoint, that's what we tell people is about 72 hours to reach out if you've been trying, you know, the heat and massaging and feeding and it's still not going away.
And the pumping. Oh, the pumping.
Yeah. And I mean, so like talking about prevention for these things, you still have to feed. And so say, we always like to get to the root cause. And with breastfeeding, I like to preface this. It's not easy. Sometimes your baby doesn't latch well. Sometimes you're dealing with a tongue tie, a lip tie. Sometimes you're dealing with tummy issues or gas or diet changes. And so if you're frequently having cracked nipples and bleeding during the feed, that means your baby is not latched properly. And we want to be able to help you get to the root of what's going on. I've heard it mentioned in the hospital, it's normal to have pain. No, it's really not. I don't know why that became a statement that was so across the board. It's normal for you to be in pain when you're feeding your baby 8 to 12 times a day. It's like, it's not normal. And we...
That also doesn't make it sound, it wouldn't make me want to continue to breastfeed if I'm constantly in pain.
Absolutely. And it's like kind of gives this feeling of we're not going to help you. So just figure it out. And that's not how it's supposed to be. It's women need more support across the board, but especially with this, that let's figure it out together what is going on, because you absolutely should not be in pain during this process. And if you are, let's figure out why. If after a feed, your breasts aren't soft, the baby is not draining the milk. Let's figure out why they're not getting that milk out of there. Is it just a simple position thing, like their lips are tucked in and they're not on there well? There's all kinds of factors as to why. And so really for mastitis and clogged ducts, if you can figure out they're happening frequently, if you can figure out what's going on, that will really prevent it from continuing to happen. And also during this entire process, I'm like in my pajamas all the time, but if you have to wear real clothes, try not to wear anything tight fitting. If you have any of this going on, you really want the milk to kind of just flow. So you don't want anything restrictive in that area. That will help prevent it as well. Kind of wearing comfy, looser clothes.
And bras that aren't super tight, like sports bras.
Yeah, exactly. Sports bras or underwires, all of that is never a good thing.
Do you have any other recs, tips, suggestions?
I did want to mention, so we have a class in San Diego. It's called All Things Baby. And you can attend our class to learn about breastfeeding before your baby baby comes or if your baby's brand new. We have a whole week there where we go over that. We have another week we go over baby wearing. There's a plethora of free breastfeeding groups in San Diego, and the Leche League has lists everywhere if you're not in that area. I really like to give people options for support because it does exist, and there are so many people that want to help you be successful on this journey. So if you need other recommendations, if you live in another area, you can always reach out to me, and we have a few resources on our website. And then another thing, a lot of people don't talk about pumping. Your flange sizes, so that's the kind of like the one that goes around your areola and your nipple, that comes in a size 24. That is not and this is from seeing hundreds of thousands of women in the hospital. That is not the average size of a nipple. We're not talking about the areola, we're talking about the nipple. If you can get your nipple sized before the baby comes and have that be accurate, that's going to help your journey because that's going to affect how your pump removes your milk. On our website, we list a free sizer. I have a sizer with me. Anyone that comes to see me or comes to my class, we can size you. That's so important to get it right because it can be really painful if half of your areola is getting pulled into that pump, and it can affect how much milk comes out too. Having the right tools, breastfeeding pillows are great. I always like to say this, don't let companies try to fool you into thinking that drinking a certain drink or eating a cookie is going to bring your milk supply in. It's very, very, very simple. The more milk you remove, the more milk you will make. We want to be pumping and feeding baby properly, and then you'll be making more milk if there's not a medical condition, you know, underlying that. I always tell people, supply and demand, find a professional if you need help. And we all want our babies to be fed. So
I think most insurance companies cover at least some time with the lactation consultant. Mm-hmm. I know that was the case for my insurance, and such a benefit if you do need that resource. So ladies, check with your insurance.
What's the website? Now I'm forgetting. It's on my website under resources. There's a great site that is online and it will check for you. And it's typically virtual, or you can pick in person as well. There's so many great websites that can connect you via your specific insurance with the right lactation consultants.
I think they even tell you what pump is covered by your insurance.
Mm-hmm. Just makes it so easy to be able to go to one place and find everything.
I didn't know that if you do have insurance, definitely check before to get your pump in advance. I didn't know that I needed to get mine how soon, and I was able to get it. I think it was like 3 months in advance, it's so nice to just have everything there and ready.
Yeah. And I know it's become really popular to do like a breastfeeding cart so that you have snacks, you have breast pads, you have your breast pump, you have everything in this mobile cart that can kind of go from your room to the living room or however your house is set
up. That's such a great idea. I didn't have that. I invested in a really comfortable rocking chair and recliner. So I just have kind of my little setup in his nursery.
Yeah, that's a great investment.
It's definitely, I think, really important to be comfortable so that you are able to continue and can pump if you do have to sit next to a wall and be attached. I love your class. The fact that you have something to provide before a baby.
If I'll be honest with you, it has been difficult to reach that audience because I wasn't worried about it before I had a baby. I didn't really explain why I started my business, but I went in with all this medical experience. Newborns, I know like back of my hand, and I was like, I'm fine. And then day 3 postpartum, I was like, what am I doing? I don't know anything. I know the first 2 days, and I felt really alone. And I know not everybody feels that way. Some people have good friends and good support group. I didn't have that. I was like, okay, we need an in-person community support for people. You can come and learn each topic of the week. But then after that, we get to talk and we go, what are you struggling? I'm really struggling with this. And then someone goes, I am too. Oh my gosh. And you don't feel as alone or like you're the only one in the world who has a baby that wakes up 7 times through the night. It's just nice to have that solidarity. And yeah, and just the confidence that when your baby arrives, or even if they're 3 weeks old, that you know what to do in certain scenarios. At the end of the day, we all just want to be confident in the basics, be able to care for a human. It's nice to have the place to gather.
It is. I think it's so necessary for new moms. I don't know how I would have survived without being able to message other new moms. I was able to meet a couple through that app called the Peanut
app. Yeah, I love that app.
I made a couple new friends. It's so helpful to just have other new moms that you can message and share information mm-hmm. with.
Because you're really not alone. Once I do connect with people and other moms in the same spot as me, just hearing one comment, it's like, yeah, I got up three times last night too. And you're like, oh my gosh, that makes me feel so much better. Yeah. Like, I was a terrible mom. Like, my baby didn't sleep well. And you're like, no, it's crazy what our minds can do. And so it does bring a lot of peace connecting.
So today's takeaways, minimum breastfeed for 6 months, if you can. Recommendations are up to 2 years for clogged milk ducts and mastitis. Make sure that you're constantly draining. So if baby isn't feeding, pump.
And with that, I actually do want to add really quick. We deal with oversupply when we overstimulate. So if you're going to pump, it would be as much as you feed your baby just to drain and just long enough to drain. It's not 35, 40 minutes attached to a pump, because what your body's going to do then is go, oh, we need to make more milk.
Thank you for coming on. And I know that there's definitely going to be tons more topics related to breastfeeding that we can bring you on and talk about.
I enjoy yes. talking about it. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.